Blog Talk Radio.
M-A-D-D-A-D-S. Men against destruction, cause you know that we are blessed. Fathers of the ghetto ain't expressing nothing less. From the north to the south, to the east, to the west. Man, that's how you feel. All the streets be keeping real. Day and night, struggle, fight, and okay. Serious. For real. Tell me what was how to do. All I said was knock it blue. Soldiers showing
Good afternoon.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. I would like to thank all of our active chapters, Florida, Iowa, Buffalo, New York, Pittsburgh, Nebraska, Lincoln, and Omaha, Dallas, Texas, and of course, Minneapolis Mad Dad's headquarters.
Wow, that was good. You did really great. You know, we're going to be talking about, our episode today is how to put God back into the family, how to reconnect with distant family, how to make your families come back together, how to do that. We're going to be talking about that today. And I think what better thing to talk about? You know, what better thing to talk about? But I've got a special guest with me today, and this is Don Davis, one of our board members. And Don, welcome to the show today.
My pleasure. Thank you.
You know, today we're talking about so many families are disconnected and distant after the holiday season, Thanksgiving, New Year's. You hear more people saying, it's just not the same. It doesn't have the same feel. Families are separated like never before. How do we begin to connect these distant families back together?
I think the families have to want to connect and get back together. The motivation would be familiarity with the family, your history. What are the kids, what are their objectives for the future? How can the parent or parents help them? But I believe in a lot of the studies that have recently been done by sociologists, criminologists, and others, VJ, that a lot of our social discourse today, a lot of our criminal behavior is a result of the family is not as strong as it used to be. And a result of that, in my opinion, and based on my experience of 35 years as a police officer, I think in a lot of cases gangs have replaced families. You know, gangs recognize one another. They appreciate one another. They have fun and things they do that are exciting. There are expectations. There are rewards. There are consequences if you don't do things right. That should all be a family set of objectives. It's not always occurring today. And that's why I think gangs flourish. They create this leadership that should be there, the model, the way to behave, the way to conduct yourself in society. So I think the families are very important. The holidays are a re-emphasis of that.
You know, I agree with that, that the family is a breakdown. In your history as a person that's been working in law enforcement, in the history of you working in law enforcement, when did you begin to see family breakdown?
Well, I became a police officer many decades ago in 1967. It was in a suburban setting, and I later worked in a federal law enforcement grants writing program. But in the early 70s, this was being identified at that time in Minnesota, but we were realizing this is also occurring throughout the country. Cities that were being looked at, of course, were Chicago, parts of the boroughs of New York City, and L.A., that there was a breakdown in gangs, and it wasn't just, or a breakdown in families, pardon me, in the establishment of gangs. And it wasn't just with the non-white communities. This was also occurring very heavily in the white communities. But as we started to see an influx of new immigrants to this country, Asian Pacific people, Hispanic people, the African American, it was occurring through all sectors of the community. And I think, again, in the 70s, I would hold up as the real concrete part of identifying these issues. So it's been there. And to be a successful family doesn't necessarily mean you have both a mother and a father. Many successful kids I've seen come out of families with just one parent, or they're raised by other family members, the extended family. I always have loved that old African adage that it takes a whole village to raise people. When I grew up in North Minneapolis, I'll tell you, cops that worked those areas, we knew them. They knew us by first names, and they'd say, "Hey, Davis, I know your grandfather. I know your dad. Now get out of here, get home. I'm going to tell them." And boy, you ran. Well, today there's such a defiance to the visible presence of law enforcement. We talk about 21st century policing. We talk about community policing. And I advocate strongly for community-oriented policing. You know, cops are really great at talking to people. I can get in anybody's face. But I think a more successful cop is one that can talk with people.
Mm-hmm.
You got to listen. The hardest part of communication is listening. But this goes back again to what's happening in your home. What are these family values? What are you being taught? So when you're out in the street, you respect people and you can gain respect. So the family is a very important linkage. And again, the reiteration of that occurs now during the holidays is a natural sort of thing. It should be fun, should be positive, and there should be some rewards for it.
You know, I see a big surge of government dollars coming down the way to teach grief and trauma, to teach the ability for folks to learn how to heal, to work with police departments for healing sessions and lots of training for happening. But really none of those dollars started coming down our way until police officers started getting killed. It was sad for me to see officers dying.
Oh, absolutely.
We've lost a lot of officers in 2016. And something has to be done to decrease that.
Right, right. The monies, I indicated I worked in a federal program in the 70s, the Law Enforcement Assistance Administration, and the funding at that time came out of Washington, wasn't just necessarily earmarked for policing, a big emphasis on crime prevention and other supportive services. So the need was being identified. Initially, the influx of the money went for cops, good thing. But that modified in a very short period of time, saying there's more to this picture, there's more to a safe society than just police officers or sheriff's deputies or state patrol troopers. You need the schools, you need the support organizations in the community. Groups like Mad Dads, for example, I think play a very critical role in trying to return to those peaceful days, so to speak. But it does take money. Unfortunately, and not every organization is blessed with big treasuries. Here at Mad Dads, I mean, the work you do is exemplary in trying to go out and look for funds. We need community support. You need community involvement. There isn't just one person sitting around saying, here's what I think we should be doing. Again, you talk with people. What are the needs you see out there in the community that I may be missing? So it becomes very important to get the input of the community, of the users, so to speak.
That's
good,
right.
A good business knows what its customers want, and that be it police service, be it the fire service, the paramedic service, the crime prevention organizations, the soothing organizations like Mad Dad. What do you people want us to do on your behalf? And it takes money to do that in most cases. The money is often the most difficult aspect of trying to introduce success and be successful.
Yes, absolutely right. It takes those dollars to make it happen. And usually the people that you work with are the ones, when you work in this kind of field, those are the people that don't have the dollars. They wish they had. They wish they could make those kind of investments, but they don't have it. It's the folks that are outside looking and watching what's going on. It's the Rotarians, the Toastmasters, the politicians, the leaders of the community. They all have those resources and have those abilities
right, to
put them in a certain pot to make a difference, to make an impact. And we're hoping that some of those individuals choose us. We're hoping they choose our organization. And some have already, and we're so thankful and grateful. And we want you to go to our website, www.MinneapolisMadDads.org, and check our website out and look at what we're doing and make an investment in us. Don, you know, one of the things that I believe that so many people are so anti-police now that those of us that believe in having a working relationship with our police officers, especially with our officers of color and officers that are working the streets of our community, so that we can begin to give them what they need. You know, we have to give them what they need.
Right.
And so if you can tell me, give me some suggestions, because I know you've been watching this as an individual that's retired and kind of you're still in it, but because it's a part of your heart, what are some suggestions that we can tell other community members to give them hope to still work alongside of our law enforcement officers to get work done? Because law enforcement officers and law enforcement brass are really two different levels. The guy on the street and the person, the chief or the assistant chief and all that, those are two different relationships. But those that are doing the grassroots work and working with the people, the frontline people, what suggestions do you give them?
I don't like what you said, but I have to agree with it. Oftentimes, there's a, not unlike any organization, be it an automobile manufacturer, food manufacturer, pharmaceutical, what the administrative level lays out as its goals and objectives may not always apply to what's taking place at that assembly line or the sales floor or whatever. The same thing can occur in policing. I think in Minnesota, we're fortunate in that we have high standards here to hire police officers in the first place. We were the first state to require that police officers be licensed. And this licensing procedure includes many, many aspects of good personnel hiring. Psychological evaluation is a very important thing. But what we're seeing today on the streets, unfortunately, I think some cases it's natural to be frightened of the environment. There's this macho image of cops that walk into anything, and most of them will, and it's in a controlled sort of way. But I've just been reading a book recently by a person, I don't know her, she's gaining a lot of attention nationally. Heather McDonald has written a book called War on Cops.
Wow.
Very, very interesting book. She has a lot of great statistics in there. And there is a war on cops. Just yesterday, Monday, January 9th, I'm screwing my dates here, two peace officers were killed in Florida, a female deputy and a female police officer and a sheriff's deputy a short time later. They were doing their jobs, and they were killed very, very unnecessarily. So there's been a disrespect or a growing disrespect in many environments for police officers, for the law enforcement community. And that can't be ignored by the administrator and the frontline cops. They've got to work to overcome that image. A lot of police cars used to say on the side of them, we're here to serve and protect. Very, very good objectives. And how you deliver those kinds of services, the way you treat people is the biggest thing. Again, most cops are good at talking to people, but to talk with people. A traffic stop can be very traumatic to a motorist. That doesn't mean they're bad people. It might have been the 10th stop that day that officer has made, and it might be the first time that driver's ever been stopped. Are they going to be nervous? Are they going to be moving around funny? Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So as a cop, you've got to realize that. You got sweating armpits right now, perspiration on the forehead. I don't like being stopped by a cop. So the way cops conduct themselves, I think it must be a natural thing for them to do to show respect to people. If I've just pursued you at speeds of 110 miles an hour through a residential area over a distance of 20 miles, I'm not going to say, well, good afternoon, Mr. Smith. How's your day going? You know, it doesn't always work that way. I used to make it my way of operating. I used to instill it on the officers I had to train. You sure go a lot further by saying, good morning or good afternoon. Sir, may I see your driver's license? And then you let the people know, why have you stopped them? You know what the speed limit is here. And don't ever say that. If you say no, the cop will say, well, I'll make up my own. You know, but you treat the people with respect. And the words please and thank you can go a long way in
that relationship. That's right.
And that should not be abnormal. It should be the normal way you conduct yourself. I recall one time many, many years ago as a street officer in court, I explained what it was, a traffic offense, and the defense attorney, well, how do you know you said good afternoon to my client? Because I always do that. You always do that. I said, well, if it's morning, I say good morning, afternoon, good afternoon, evening, good evening. You always do that. I said, I try to. I clarify that by saying unless it's been a pursuit or a felony situation. But the traffic contacts are so important between the police and the public. And I would hope that, and I think the police administrators I know and work with are emphatic to try to maintain those positive community relations. The way your cops talk, the way they look. And I've been criticized because I'm too much for a clean uniform and shiny shoes. I think it's kind of disrespectful to approach somebody in their home and, you know, have taco sauce dripping down your shirt or a hole in your pants. Now, if you've been out wrestling around with somebody on the ground, that's a different thing. But take pride in yourself. Take pride in how you look. Take pride in what you're doing, and take pride in serving those citizens you're dealing with. I don't care their gender, their age, their political preference, their religion. Makes no difference to me at all. Race is just a factor of biological insignificance. I'm more concerned with the conduct of that person and who they are. The biological insignificance factor I could care less about. They are people. You've got to have respect for people. To serve and protect, you've got to respect that clientele you have out there. And they are customers. And I know a lot of law enforcement personnel would not agree with me on that, but citizens that we are working for, they are our customers. We're not in the money-making business. Good grief, government is in the business to serve, and government doesn't concern itself with profit. They have to be concerned with service. What kind of resources do they have to provide that service? Not unlike the challenges you face as executive director with Mad Dads. You've got to have a certain amount of money to do the things you want to do. You've got to live within those bounds, too, unlike the private sector. So a long answer to your question, we're serving people. We've got to do it in a respectful way. Got to do it in a professional way. I'm not saying you're a softie. Good peace officers know when to turn it on, how to use the appropriate amount of force to restrain or conclude an arrest. But you can do it with pride. You can do it in a way that when you go home at the end of that shift, I always like to have officers say, when you look in that mirror at the end of the day, I'm going home and get a good night's sleep because I did nothing wrong today. Or and my other philosophical thing used to be, imagine a reporter riding with you your entire 8 or 10 hour shift with a camera going. Well, now that's pretty well happening with all the new technology we have with the body cams and the cameras in the car. So a lot of the conduct is easy to monitor. I think that's a positive thing. There are those who would disagree with me on that, but I think the camera in the long run is going to show that so many instances of alleged complaints against police officers are not going to be justified because the cameras are to back it up. I like the use of the cameras.
I think that's great. You listen to Blog Talk Radio all across the nation. Big ups to everybody in Buffalo, New York, Pittsburgh, Nebraska, Dallas, Iowa, Jacksonville, Florida, and all around the country. We're excited about you being on. You know what? We've got 13 minutes left. Our call-in number is 347-215-9262. That's 347-215-9262. We have a number of callers on. You have not pushed one. You need to push that one. So we know that you have questions or comments or things that you'd like to add. Until then, we're just going to keep on talking. We're glad you're here. Don't forget, go to our website, www.MinneapolisMadDads.com, and make a contribution. That's www.MinneapolisMadDads.com, and make a contribution, make a donation, sign up to volunteer, be a part of what we do. Just follow us on Facebook, too. You can follow us there, Mad Dads Minneapolis. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram and Glide. We're on everything. We're doing everything we can to keep you posted on what we're doing. We still got about 50 boxes of what?
25 boxes.
So we got 25 boxes. We started out with 300 boxes. What are the boxes called?
Matter
boxes. And they're healthy boxes. They got applesauce, they got corn, they got beans, they got brown rice, they got everything in there for healthy, okay? So I ain't got nothing with chitlins in it. I don't have anything with the pigtails in it. I don't have any of that. But if you want something healthy, come by and see us. We've got 25 boxes left.
What did we just have for lunch? The board meeting.
We just had sambusa. And did you enjoy that?
I did. I've never had them before. Very flavorful, nice portion to them. It was very interesting taste. I'm going to do it again.
That is a Somali food.
Okay.
And from our favorite place right down the street, which
is Safari.
And there's a dish that we love to have, and you got to have it with us. Next time you come, he's going to have it. Well, let's have it. It's called sports. And it's a plate this big. And it has everything on it.
Okay.
So we're going to have that for you. Remind me to get sports and have it up here. Yep, for our next meeting. So we'll do that.
That's better than my double patty cheeseburgers I usually like.
Yeah.
Not healthy.
Yeah, that's not good. You know, we're talking about racism, and for me, I've been watching racism for a long time. I'm from Kansas City, Missouri, originally. And in Kansas City, everybody was segregated. You know, nobody lived in the same neighborhood. I stole a bicycle once in the white neighborhood. And when I was young, I learned a serious lesson. To get away, I went through the park, not knowing that the park that I went through, the father of the son of the owner of the bike was playing baseball. And the son said, "Daddy, there he goes with my bike, Daddy. That's my bike." There were 300 adult baseball players, Caucasians, in the park. As they were about to beat me with their bats, the father said, whoa, don't do that. Make him take that bike back to my house and then get his raggedy bike and ride his bike back home. But don't beat him. They were going to beat the hell out of me with those bats. And this is, I was covering my, I said, oh, I'm gone. All my friends watched, shot another way. And I'll tell you, he put me in his car. And he said, don't steal bikes, man. Don't do that. Because you see what could have happened? They're ready to kill you.
That kind of mirrors a situation that took place in Chicago this week, where four African-Americans abducted and held a challenged white kid for a couple of days, beating him with boards and bats and railroad ties and making him drink out of a toilet. But I think what you experienced, and I think it's safe to say you never stole a bicycle again.
Yeah, that's correct.
But you were the recipient, I think, of punishment with dignity. You were punished, but there was some dignity with it.
Yeah.
You were not beaten. You were not physically abused in any other way, I don't believe. But more of that should take place. Anytime somebody has something taken, they're very defensive. I know I would be, too. But that's why we have the system we have of criminal justice in this country. The courts determine and impose the punishment, not the victim. I think it's great where victims have a say in court through victim impact statements where you can talk about what it was like to have a family member murdered or raped or the burglary that took place, the loss of your car. Those inputs from the victims are important, I think, to the judge or judges in a case. But to just say, I've been the victim, and to start thrashing out and beating somebody, like you see all those mad white adults with baseball bats in their hands, would not be a fun thing to look at, you know? So I think you got a valuable lesson that was learned and should be shared.
I did. Now, well, the question I had for you is because I meet a lot of good folks in law enforcement, and I also meet the other side. How did you deal with that, working with sometimes and partnering with those that you knew that did not have the best interests of the people? Because, see, you have a certain standard, and there's some unwritten rules in law enforcement, you know, about race and all that stuff. And you, like me, everybody is human beings. And I can't treat a white kid different than I treat a black kid because they're both my kids. They're the village, right? But there are certain people. I remember going on a ride-along with a certain cop, and then I went on a ride-along with another officer. He says, man, he's not, you know, he's a softy, you know, because he talks to people. He lets them slide. He encourages them to do the right. See, I ain't got time for that. I'm going to show you how I lift weights. I kick butt. I kick K, and I take names. That's how I do it. And I could tell that he had no compassion for the community. How did you deal with it? I mean, in all your years in law enforcement.
I think as a police administrator, the most important decision you make is not with your budget, not with a new crime prevention program or initiative. The most important decision is hiring people. I took it, as most chiefs do, most sheriffs do, very, very serious responsibility. And in Minnesota, not unlike a lot of states, we have a one-year probationary period where a law enforcement officer or deputy is not successful. They can be terminated without cause.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to think about that. We put a lot of time and money into recruiting cops. We want to get the best people possible, provide the best training we can, which is another important component. A cop, the day that she or he comes on the job, they're not really going to be on their own in most departments for 4, 5, 6 months. They're being guided. They're being trained. But when they do make mistakes, I used to take that very personal, that it was a negative mark against mm-hmm. me. I shouldn't have hired that person. But at the time, I made the best decision possible based on their background, their fitness for duty, their psychological evaluation. But when it is confirmed that something has gone wrong, as the administrator, you jump on that. Discipline has to be imposed. Discipline could be anything from a verbal reprimand up to and including discipline, mm-hmm. or determination, and discipline that might include being charged in court. Mm-hmm. I've been involved in those situations, too. So as a chief, it bothers you, but you have to take quick affirmative action to remedy that situation. And don't be ashamed to say, we were wrong. Sometimes the words, I'm sorry, are very, very hard to say. but from a policing perspective, I think it gets a lot of return for the investment in the long run.
Well, and I agree. I think that what we have to do is start to build and heal. Healing is so important right now. I want healing for the officers' families, healing for the victims of police brutality, healing for a community that doesn't know really what to do right now.
Right.
And so what I feel right now is that until we learn to heal, we cannot learn to begin to have better relationships.
And it goes both ways.
Yeah.
The cop, the citizen. This book I referenced earlier, BJ, by Heather McDonald, The War on Cops, she really gets into detail about why the crime rates in Chicago are so high right now. You know, their murder rate was just unbelievable the last year. And starting to creep up again in New York City, two of the biggest cities she looked at. But a lot of it is because police officers are not making their street-initiated stops. I mean, it was always part of your job. Somebody's involved in suspicious behavior, whatever that may be. It could be the location, the time of day, the area, what their conduct is. Under the Constitution, decision called the Terry decision, cops do have a right to stop and frisk, and you're going to frisk just for your own protection. But cops are being so criticized for that, particularly in New York, and to a degree now Chicago, that they're just backing off. She points out a very significant statistical correlation between the fact crime is up and stops by cops on the streets are down. Mm-hmm. Some cops are saying, it's not worth it. I'll respond to your 911 call, but if you want me to go out and initiate something on my own, it's not working. It's not working.
Wow.
So the it's a two-way thing. I think your example of two different kinds of cops, two different styles, was a good one.
Yes, I agree. So you've been listening to Blog Talk Radio. We talked about how to put the families back in the community. We talked to our host here, Mr. Don Davis, about some things that we can do different.
Not the host, I'm the high-paid guest.
Yeah, he's the guest. We've got our goddaughter in here and one of my daughters in here. How you doing, babe? You all right? All right, great. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. Listen, here's what we're going to do. We're going to close out with some thoughts, some final thoughts, and some things that maybe you can do. I know one of the things you can do is continue to tune in every Tuesday at 1 p.m. to Blog Talk Radio. And that number is 347-215-9262, 347-215-9262. And any final thoughts, Joanne, that you want to talk about our show today? Oh, we're having a fundraiser for Guadalupe on Saturday.
Saturday, January 14th.
January 14th.
At the BMO Harris Bank on Lake Street, right off of 4th Avenue. 10 o'clock to 12 noon.
She was a young lady at the age of 13. She was shot
and paralyzed.
Paralyzed in a wheelchair. She'll never walk again. Those gang members have been incarcerated, but that still doesn't mean she never will stand up and walk across the stage. But she graduated from high school, and we're going to celebrate and congratulate her. So come through Saturday and do that. That's going to be BMO Harris Bank. And also, we are going to be doing fundraising. We're going to be doing a lot of upcoming things. I'll let Don close us out with some final thoughts from you, sir.
We've got a great society, but it can improve. I think law enforcement has a significant contribution to that improvement. Again, treat our people, treat our citizens as the customers, and customers treat with respect the services you're getting. Start to communicate, don't hate. It'll go a lot further.
That's right. Start to communicate, don't hate. You've been listening to Blog Talk Radio all across the nation. We're excited about everybody being on here. We look forward to seeing you next week. And matter of fact, we got a little snow coming today, so drive careful, everybody. Be careful out there. And go to our website, www.MinneapolisMadDads.org. I want to thank all our people and say big ups to everybody in Florida, Iowa, New York, Pittsburgh, Nebraska, Dallas, and, of course, Minneapolis, Minnesota. God bless you guys.
M-A-D-D-A-D-S. Men against destruction, because you know that we are blessed. Fathers of the ghetto, and he's pressing nothing left. From the north to the south, to the east, to the west. Mad dads, how you feel? On the streets, we keep it real. Day and night, the jungle fight is serious. I'm so for real. Tell me, what was I to do? All I said was knock it blue. Soldiers showing love.